John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, reading through verse 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." Could you imagine having a job where your goal was to look like a failure? Your job description would be to make your coworker to look great no matter what, even if it meant losing your job or even your life. That's how dedicated you are to your coworker. Every time you would be offered a promotion, you would have the responsibility to say, "No. No, my coworker is the one that deserves the raise and the promotion." And that you believe that it is a privilege to be even, just to be associated with your coworker. Well, John the Baptist's job was something like that. And he was very good at it. John the Baptist was called of God to point the way to Jesus. In order to point the way to Jesus, it was important that John recognize what his calling was. It was also important that he recognized who he was and who he was not. And tied in with all of this, it was important that he recognize who Jesus was. And John was successful at all three. He recognized what his calling was. He recognized who he was and who he was not. And John recognized who Jesus was. And with the success that he had, he would pave the way for the ministry of Jesus. And in the end, give his very life for Jesus. We read in verse 19, "Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" Once again, the testimony, the martyria, the word that we get martyr from, the martyria of John, the testimony of John. There are good witnesses and there are bad witnesses. There are witnesses who can be made to pay, who can be paid to say most anything in court. And there are witnesses who will tell the truth no matter what. No matter what threats may be thrown at them, they are going to tell the truth. John the Baptist was one of those witnesses, the ones who would, the kind that would tell the truth no matter what. We see the Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites to ask John the Baptist who he was. Perhaps Jewish leaders wanted some fact-finding done. So they did what many groups do. They formed a delegation / committee. They sent apostles. Yes, apostles. The word apostello means to send or to send with a commission. They were sent ones to ask questions. They were commissioned to find out who John the Baptist said he was. And the priests may have been there to ask the questions, and I mean this seriously, and the Levites may have been there to prevent a riot from occurring. John, after all, was a controversial character, looking at it from the Jewish perspective, and he may have been a threat to the power and authority of the Jewish religious leaders. And John the Baptist, from what we see in Scripture, when he spoke, he didn't seem to speak in a very mild manner. John the Baptist seems to have quite a following at this time. And we know that there had been false messiahs during the time of John the Baptist. There had been false messiahs before his time. And at the very least, there would have been concern that John the Baptist was another one of those false messiahs. False messiahs could pose a threat to the religious leaders, but could also pose a political problem that could lead to Rome clamping down on Jewish freedoms. Remember when one of the religious leaders, a high priest, mentioned that it would be good for one to die for the whole. Well, in a sense, that was true, but it was not the way that the high priest meant it. One of the things he may have been basically saying was, for the good of the whole, for the peace of our group, be better that Jesus die. Peace in Jerusalem was something that was not a given. I would think by this time that John had offended at least a portion of the religious establishment in Israel. You don't generally call people a bunch of snakes and they say, "Oh, thank you, I appreciate that." And I take it that they've been called that by this particular time. And John had been called off by God to point toward a man who was going to be even more offensive than what he was. John gives an honest answer. In verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." He first and foremost, quite clearly confessed that he was not the Messiah, not the Christ. Verse 21, and they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." "Are you Elijah?" In a very real sense, John the Baptist was Elijah. We see in the book of Mark, chapter 9, that Jesus calls him Elijah. But the way that John is answering this question is that he's answering it literally. Was he literally the same Elijah who lived hundreds of years ago? No, I am not Elijah. And he answers that question honestly. Are you the prophet? Now, who's the prophet? Elijah, that's pretty cut and dried. Are you the prophet? I'd ask you to turn in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. This, the prophet, was someone that the Jewish people looking forward to, but just who was he? In Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. Now, whether this might point forward to somebody like Samuel, ultimately, this pointed forward to someone greater. And that is what John the Baptist is being asked. Are you that greater prophet? Since those verses in Deuteronomy 18 also referred to the Messiah, John the Baptist once again answers totally honestly, no. Verse 22, then they said to him, who are you, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Who are you? Just who are you? What is it that you say about yourself? And then verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Chapter 40, starting with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, reading down through verse 11. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God, our God, stands forever. O Zion, you who brings good tidings, get up into the high mountain of O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Crying. the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The word that is used here in Greek sounds like ba'o. It's a heartfelt cry, a strong feeling. Now, not only in the English do we have, if you're familiar with onomatopoeia, a word that sounds like what it's describing. A word imitating the sound. Well, that's what we have with ba'o. Something imitating the sound. We're not talking about someone who is standing on the street corner who's being paid by the hour to hand out leaflets saying, "Would you like to have one of these? Take one of these, please. Would you like one? This is a good pamphlet. Would you like this pamphlet? It tells us about our place of business." No, that's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at a strong, heartfelt cry. We have these words in our language like boom, or splash, or drip, or whoosh. That's what we have here. A word that sounds like what it is. A heartfelt cry, strong feeling, a crying. John says, "This is who I am." John is answering the question, but in doing so, he's taking the offensive. How is John describing himself? Well, you notice here in verses 3 and 4, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked places are going to be made straight, the rough places smooth. How is John describing himself? He's describing himself as someone who is making the way straight for the king. The king is coming, and I am here to prepare for his coming. There should be no difficulties, no obstructions. The way should be straight. Now, by saying this, I see John the Baptist is at least implying that the Jewish religious leaders who had sent this delegation also had the responsibility to prepare the way for the coming king. To put it more bluntly, the religious leaders needed to repent just like others in Israel needed to repent. There was no exemption for the religious leaders. Both the shepherds and the sheep needed to repent. There was a great need for sorrow, for sin, and crying out for the mercy of God. John recognizes his calling. Part of that calling involved crying out to others emphatically about the need for repentance. And others meant everyone. Even the members of the religious establishment in Israel needed to repent. Or perhaps a better way of saying this is especially the members of the religious establishment in Israel needed to repent, since they were God's shepherds of His people. They were the shepherds of God's people. Now, they may have been terribly incompetent shepherds of God's people, but they were shepherds nonetheless. Shepherds of the covenant people of God do not just have authority. They also have great responsibility. As a side note, Jesus would deal with the issue of poor shepherding in Luke 15 with his parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. John 1:24. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. It's possible that this verse gives a reason why John the Baptist quotes Isaiah. If John had been talking to people associated with the Sadducees, people who had been sent by the Sadducees, he might have quoted from one of the first five books of the Bible. The Sadducees did not hold the book of Isaiah in high regard, like they did the first five books. And they did not hold the book of Isaiah in high regard like the Pharisees did. The Pharisees respected the prophetic books of the Old Testament in a way that the Sadducees did not. It might be a little bit like going into Oklahoma Sooner territory and trying to prove a point with a bunch of Oklahoma fans, trying to prove a point by quoting great Oklahoma State players and great Oklahoma State coaches of the past. Might not work. Quoting Isaiah would get the attention. On the other hand, the quoting of Isaiah would get the attention of the Pharisees and perhaps encourage these commissioners in the delegation to ask further questions. At this point, even though John the Baptist is being asked the questions, who is in the process of taking control of this conversation? John the Baptist is. Verse 25, and they ask him, saying, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? If you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, why are you baptizing? John was the son of a priest, and surely he knew that not just anyone would be allowed to be involved in rites of purification. This is a Pharisee kind of question, not a Sadducee kind of question. I'm not sure that the Sadducees would have even cared to propose this question. Verse 26 down through 28. John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John the Baptist knows who he is, and he knows who he's not. John the Baptist knows he's not the Messiah. But he also knew that he served a vital role and that he was the one sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. John baptized with water. John administered the sign, the water. Jesus, however, would actually give what the water signified, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. When you see a pastor baptizing, he is administering a sign when they baptize. But pastors do not have the power to give what the water signifies. John the Baptist recognized what his calling was. He was sent by God to prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist recognized who he was and who he was not. He was not the Messiah. He was the one given the important task of preparing the way for the Messiah. John was the promised one. John was a promised one. Jesus was the promised one. John was the one who administered the sign of baptism. But his power and authority stopped there. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus was. Jesus was the one who had much more authority than the one who administered the sign of baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we read that, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John speaking. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist was a great man who was honored with great responsibility, but even he did not consider himself worthy. In Psalm 144, we can see that we bless God by praising Him for His attributes. We praise God the Son for who He is and what He's done. we are not worthy of anything that he has done for us. Jesus is the giver of grace. We are the receivers of that grace. Jesus is the one who commissions us to build up his kingdom. We are the ones who are commissioned. Even our pastors, who have the great honor of baptizing, having been given authority to administer the sign of baptism, even pastors do not have the power to give what the water signifies. Only Jesus has the power to give what the water signifies through the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, the Father, for sending His Son and for the great privilege and honor that Christians have of bearing the name of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for His power. We thank You for His strength. We thank You that He was much greater than John the Baptist. For if we were looking to John the Baptist for salvation, we would be looking in the wrong place. And if we were looking for Your Son and He were no more powerful than that, we would be looking in the wrong place. But He, like You, is God. He has true strength. He has all that was required to save us by what He's done. But not just what He has done, but what He is doing. Sitting at Your right hand, interceding for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we continue on in this day, if You give us breath, that we will live for You. And we also pray for comfort. We pray for ones of us who are hurting. We pray that we will have a joy, a happiness that is constant, even when we go through those rough times, even when we are hurting. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen. Let's turn in our Psalters once again. Psalm 116c. 116c. Let's all stand together.